It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll find out how Wisconsin's drunk driving prevention efforts failed in a recent report.
First, we take a look at why Americans aren't reading beyond their borders. According to our next guest, only 3% of everything published in the United States each year is translated from another language, and the majority of that is computer manuals and other technical stuff.
And she says a nation that takes pride in its immigrant history and its multicultural sensibility, this aversion to translated literature is downright bizarre, and it's not at all serving American readers.
Our guest is Anna Clark. She's an independent journalist and a political media correspondent for the Columbia Journalism Review. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
So I want to start with that 3% figure. Only 3% published from another language in the United States? It seems kind of low. Can you put that into context for us?
It is an impossibly low number, and it becomes especially surprising when you realize that that accounts for all material published in the United States, including technical material, computer manuals, reprints of classics, things like that. The amount of contemporary fiction and poetry translating to English each year in America is astonishingly small.
So what is going on? Why aren't we getting more of the world's great literature that's being written today translated and sold?
There's a lot of reasons for it. I think the easiest thing that people might say when trying to talk about this is that there's a sense that American readers aren't interested in reading beyond their borders, but I think that's actually a pretty lazy understanding of what's happening. I think the truth is that a lot of major publishers have some difficulty in being agile enough and responsive enough to the best writers around the globe in terms of literary scouting, in terms of finding and vetting translators, in terms of actually bringing these books to market. And I think there's a lot of fear about being able to make the most of them through traditional publishing models. I think the best books, the best writers being translated in America today are actually being published by independent presses. And there's also a lot of really wonderful work being done by translators bringing those works into English. And they, too, have historically been a little bit rogue, you know, like translation has not been a historically valued art, even in academia. It's been something that actually sometimes counted against professors working towards tenure, to the point where many of them even, you know, like omitted the fact that they translated important works of literature from their, you know, CVs for fear that it would count against them.
Well, since apparently we are not reading literature that's been translated in America, tell us what we're missing.
Oh, we're missing so much. I mean, I personally, as a reader, I mean, I can't even begin to describe, like, how much I think that I've gained, you know, like, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, even, by reading beyond our borders. I mean, obviously, there's an enormous number of tremendous American writers who, and other writers who work in English that I, you know, like, any reader would do well to spend time with, but you know, there's amazing people at work today. Elena Ferrante is one of my very favorites. She's one of Italy's most famous novelists. Her work is being published by Europa Editions, one of those like smaller independent presses that does fantastic work. And you know, she gets an enormous amount of critical acclaim. She's doing incredible things with her novels. And if more Americans are reading her, it's all the better for us.
So there are some big-name novelists out there, I gather, that we're just not aware of. Do you think that we're also sort of missing trends in the field of literature besides great books?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, first of all, I think that, you know, even if it was just for the sake of joy, it'd be worth it, you know, to bring these writers into English. But it's absolutely true that I think that our understanding of cultural affairs going on around the world, of major conversations happening in aesthetics, in politics, in, you know, all kinds of human relations, you know, like a lot of these are being vetted out through literature, you know, and I think that when American readers don't have access to those, it's a real challenge. I mean, a lot of those issues are, you know, very relevant to us today, you know, like those of us trying to figure out how to, like, grow towards a more equitable, integrated, multicultural, humane society. I mean, like, we can only benefit by, you know, paying attention to the most, artful and engaged writers around the world.
I'm curious about what it takes to get a book translated into English. You know, you look at something like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is a blockbuster. Does it have to be that big?
I think there's, major publishers today have a lot of concern about being able to have a profitable and sustainable model. And that's great. They should. I hope they do. You know, I want them to be able to continue bringing, important work into our bookstores and our libraries. But there is a lot that goes on. And it's true that, translations are trickier to do. I mean, it's not just a matter of, having a literary agent, sell a manuscript to a publisher, and with a little bit of editing, a little bit of revisions, a little bit of promotion, it's out there. There is more steps. You do have to get a translator. The publisher might have more difficulty communicating with the writer. Not just language wise, but through technology and so on. So there are a lot more steps, and that means I think that the publishers would like to see the cost benefit work out. So there is more of an interest in these writers who are costing a bit more to, bring more to the publishers. I mean, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, though, you're right, it was a huge blockbuster, and it's not a coincidence that a lot of these Nordic crime and thriller writers are having a bit of a heyday. If anybody's doing well getting translated into English right now, it's people in those genres, because publishers are hoping to repeat that.
So in terms of, what we can do, could consumers rattle the doors at independent publishers? What do we need to do if we want to see more of these books on bookshelves and bookstores?
I think the most important thing to do is to read, to buy, to talk about, to review, to engage with a lot of the really amazing work that is being published, because while it is a too small number, there is quite a lot out there. And I think if we engage with what is there, I think we can demonstrate the sort of market forces that major publishers will pay attention to. I think we just got to show that that American readers are interested, are engaged, we'll take the extra steps to find, voices that are beyond our borders. And so, the head of the Nobel Committee, who a few years ago accused American readers of being too insular, too isolated, and so on, we can show that that's not so, simply through our actions and by talking about it, just like we are now.
Let's talk about that. I mean, are we insulated? Are we not that interested in reading beyond our borders, as you put it? Is there something to that critique?
I think that saying yes or no is in both ways a little too general, because of course there are some people who I think would be put off, by things that by books that are not set in places they know, or who have authors who have a name that might be difficult for them to pronounce. But I think the truth is, most of us just care about a good, well-told story, and this is true in, all kinds of genres, you can have your popular fiction thriller types like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and you can also have much more, erudite sort of fiction and intellectual treatises at the other end. In the end, all of us just want a good book, And I think that there's a lot of ways, a lot of different kinds of readers can find ways to connect with this. And I think if most of us just give it a try, it will sell itself. It's not something that I think people should do out of a duty, but out of a sense of joy and out of a sense of interest and the incredible diversity of stories that really is out there, whether or not we know it.
Anna, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today.
I'm really glad for the chance. Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Anna Clark, an independent journalist and a political media correspondent for the Columbia Journalism Review.